This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode, When Panic Attacks. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Anxiety doesn't have a single cause. Genetics seem to play a role, a lack of sleep, stress, exhaustion, but it can also be related to things that happened to us in the past. Liz Tung met a 31-year-old woman who experienced chronic stress and trauma in her childhood.
For Adesola Ogunleye, this is what therapy sounds like. Hear that thrashing beat? That's Adesola. She's the drummer for a band called Full Bush. I catch them on a recent Friday at this little hole-in-the-wall bar called Connie's Rick Rack. And tonight, Adesola is just killing it. Pummeling her drum kit like it owes her money. For Adesola, that's where the therapy part of being in a band comes in.
Nothing like being so pissed off, coming home, and just beating the hell out of drums. Feels so good.
It's a few days earlier, and I'm at Adesola's apartment. It's filled with this kind of charming clutter.
Over here, there's a picture of Jesus.
Prints and antique furniture, instruments, skateboards.
Yes. But yeah, there's a lot of really, like, kooky, weird shit in my house.
It's bold and artsy, kind of like Adesola herself. She has short pink hair, a silver ring through her septum, and tattoos that run up and down her arms. She looks, frankly, like kind of a badass, the kind of person who isn't afraid of anything. But looks can be deceiving. Adesola is a badass, but she's also someone who's dealt with some pretty serious anxiety. That anxiety was a long time in the making, but she says it wasn't until recently that she was able to recognize and name it. It all started about 6 years ago, when she first met a boy called Greg, one of her coworkers at Whole Foods.
And someone had broken a bottle of some stupid non-alcoholic beer. I hate those beers. And basically we were cleaning up together, and I don't remember what joke it was, but he said something that was just very dry and witty, and it just made me laugh. I'm like, oh my God, you're really funny and you're really adorable. I want to get to know you better.
They went on a date, hit it off, and within 3 months they were living together. Things were going really well, except for Adesola's temper, or what she thought was her temper.
It would just come out of nowhere. You know, he would make me dinner, he would just treat me really nicely, like any normal person would treat another person.
Adesola's reaction? To lash out.
Oh, I broke up with him like a million times. I said really nasty things to him.
It was like the nicer Greg was, the more threatened Adesola felt. The same thoughts kept repeating in her brain.
He's going to do something mean really soon. He's going to hurt me. He's going to do something and he's just messing with my head.
For Adesola, it was a way of protecting herself. She had a tough childhood. For years, she was shuffled between relatives and family friends. She even moved to the U.S. from her native Nigeria, alone, at the age of 6. It wasn't until she was 11 that Adesola started living with her mother again. And she says her mother was difficult.
My mother, she confused me as a child a lot. And I think that's where a lot of it really comes from.
Adesola says her mom was emotionally and sometimes physically abusive. She was strict and controlling, would lash out at Adesola and then gaslight her later. But she was also the only family Adesola had. So that's the backdrop, all of the complicated emotional issues that were swirling around when Adesola had a panic attack that changed everything. It started one night when she and Greg were hanging out at home.
We were watching TV, and it was around the time another person had come out with allegations towards R. Kelly.
An R&B singer who's been accused of preying on underage girls.
But she was telling about how it started when she was very young, and everyone around her was just like pretending like it was normal.
It was one of a string of stories that had recently come out about R. Kelly, so Adesola didn't pay that much attention. As the night went on, she and her boyfriend Greg started getting cozy. And as they were making out,
the story kept replaying in my mind, and it just unlocked something.
A flood of memories burst from the little box that had been sealed up in.
From one of my cousin's husbands, like, touching me inappropriately in church, and then me telling my aunt and her saying that I made it up.
There were other instances, too.
It was like one of my stepfather's friends like molested me when I was like really young, like for a long, long, long time, to a point where it was on a schedule. I would go to his room and he would touch me inappropriately and I would leave his room.
Right now, she was in a room with her boyfriend, Greg, someone she loved and trusted. But at this moment, none of that mattered. Her reaction was visceral.
It was just like thinking of it and then someone touching you at the same time. It's so overpowering and overwhelming. I just freaked out.
Adesola had had panic attacks before, but this one was more powerful than anything she'd experienced.
I was hyperventilating. I lost every sense of control. And I just wanted to, I just was like, please don't ever touch me again.
Adesola was so distraught, a friend had to come and hold her until she calmed down. For months, even years afterwards, she couldn't stand to let Greg touch her.
It just all just like fell apart.
This was the first time Adesola realized how huge anxiety had been looming in her life and where it was coming from.
It was just like realizing like all these times in my life where I had not consented to someone touching me, that my body was not mine for so long in my life.
That realization led to an even bigger one, that the sexual abuse Adesola experienced was part of a painful pattern throughout her childhood, of the adults in her life, her parents, her relatives, family, friends, betraying her, neglecting her, hurting her. These were the people who she should have been able to trust the most. Now, the defenses her brain had built up to protect her from that harm was backfiring. She knew that she could trust Greg, and yet she pushed him away.
And in my head was split into two. It'd be like, what are you doing? Versus the other side that would keep telling me to keep going, because that's all you know, is just to keep going.
According to psychology researcher Seth Pollack, that split Adesola was feeling, it reflects a real physical change in the brains of people who've experienced extreme childhood stress.
When children are growing up in very stressful circumstances, we will often see later in life problems that are associated with that kind of stress exposure.
One of those problems? Anxiety. For a while now, scientists have known that childhood stress and maltreatment are one of the strongest risk factors for anxiety and depression. In fact, it accounts for up to a third of anxiety and mood disorders. But Seth says it's only recently that scientists have started to understand the mechanics of why that is.
It appears that what stress exposure is doing is affecting the way different parts of the brain can effectively and quickly communicate with one another.
And that can have a big impact on people's stress response. Think of the body like a fortress, and your brain like the army assigned to guard that fortress. A part of your brain called the amygdala is like your frontline watchman. Their job is to keep an eye out for any danger on the horizon. As soon as they see anything out of the ordinary, they call up to their commander, the hippocampus. He pulls out his binoculars, figures out whether there's a problem, and then calls the watchman back, either saying, yes, this is a threat, pull out your weapons. Or no, that's just a goat coming down from the mountains, nothing to worry about. In a normally wired brain, that communication happens quickly and efficiently. But for people who've experienced childhood stress, the lines of communication get screwed up.
Some brain circuits might be overwired or underwired and might not be communicating as effectively as they should be.
So maybe the commander's phone isn't working and his guards never get the memo that there is no danger, so they sound an alarm, time for battle. Or maybe you've got too much communication. Say instead of one guard, there are four of them calling up to the commander, and he becomes so overwhelmed that he isn't able to figure out what's really going on. Eventually, the brain becomes trained to overreact to stress all the time.
When you're a child that's experiencing very high stress, this environment is actually shaping your view of what the world is like. And so if people that are supposed to be caring for you and protecting you are hurting you or harming you or responding to you in an inconsistent way, this is shaping what you're expecting from people in the social environment.
Scientists are still figuring out how to best undo that faulty wiring. Adesola has worked out some of her own ways of coping. She talks with friends, plays the drums, hangs out with Greg. They're actually married now. And when painful memories start rearing their head, she takes a moment, tells her watchman to stand down.
I just try and like do breathing exercises, take a step out if I need to, look at a funny cat meme now, you know, and just like enjoy the small moments of life where I am happy.
That story was reported by Liz Tung.